There is a warrior deep in the heart of every man. Society tells men to be soft and stay in line. The church tells men to be nice and quiet. But Jesus calls men into a dangerous adventure, an epic battle. In this two-part interview, Joseph Washburn returns to talk about his journey of faith in the Green Berets. Right now in our church, there's a tension between many young men and women who feel called to serve in our armed forces and the SDA traditions of the older generations. Joseph will give his perspective on being a Christian in the Special Forces and how we decide individually what is right and wrong in a world that is rarely black and white. Welcome back, Joseph. It's good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me back, Grant. I appreciate this opportunity. You know, when I joined the military, it was pre-9/11. I joined up that summer of 2001 to escape a bad situation I was in. I was just involved in a lot of drugs and just not living a healthy life. And I knew it was really destructive. And I wanted a chance to get my life together. And so I knew that the only thing that would force me to change was the military. So I joined. And when I joined, I was not Christian. I was not Seventh-day Adventist. Both of those things would come, you know, a handful of years later.
Were you an Adventist in the military?
I was, yeah. Through the quiet witness of another Adventist, we were in the same platoon. He quietly witnessed for years. You know, if that man hadn't been there, I never would have come to Christ, I don't think. And that's again why I said you don't know what God is doing in and through other people.
So how did you become a Christian?
One of the biggest things that brought me to Christ was my inability to reconcile the pain and suffering that I was experiencing. Pain and suffering typically has the reverse effect. It pushes people away from God. However, you know, I had quit drugs, quit drinking, quit smoking. I was becoming highly successful after a very rough start in my career. I had 3 Article 15s for alcohol-related incidences. You know, on several occasions, I had still used drugs while I was in the military early on. And I had pulled myself up by my bootstraps and was overcoming all of that and was highly successful in my career. I was in a position which I didn't even have the rank to hold. I was well respected. I wasn't a great leader by any means. Don't get me wrong. I made so many more mistakes than I had successes, but none of that brought me happiness. And I was miserable. And everybody around me would tell you I was not pleasant to be around. There's this weird nagging experience I was having. You know, my atheistic perspective or worldview told me that there was no moral imperative. It was just a matter of preference. I couldn't prefer enough to think a different way. Like, I was still bothered by the pain and the suffering I saw. I was bothered by the fact that people were blowing themselves up and I was having to go literally pick up the body parts. I was bothered by the fact that other people were trying to kill others just simply because of their religious perspective. You know, I was kind of angry, you know, like, why are you making me have to shoot you and kill you? And I was bothered because I realized that these people's lives all had value. And I couldn't figure out where that value came from. And it forced me to contemplate that that value was external to myself. I couldn't find any source other than a potential divine source. And it forced me to contemplate the existence of God and that He gave all of our lives value. And I was just trying to catch up with that idea. You know, and when I was shown things in the Bible by my friend who was an Adventist at that time, I was also in some non-denominational studies, and 30 plus people versus one Adventist, and the persuasiveness of that single Adventist solid biblical foundation persuaded me to go that route. In short, I became a Christian because I sensed that other people's lives had value that just, it stemmed from outside of myself. And I realized that God was the one that gave them that value. And if God valued them that much, maybe He valued me that much. And if He valued me that much, maybe I should get to know Him a little bit better.
I invited one of my friends to come to the No Excuses Project, and he said he was pretty uncomfortable with the whole idea of mixing the military and the gospel, and because, you know, history's full of examples of soldiers for Christ not actually helping and doing a lot of hurting. What's your perspective on that versus you've got the metaphorical, I'm a soldier for Christ, and then actually, yeah, I'm carrying a gun and I'm a soldier for Christ. Like, how do you work through that?
You don't have to carry that gun to be a soldier for Christ. And just because you carry a gun doesn't mean you're not a soldier for Christ. But I think that there is a very fine line there. You know, just because you're uncomfortable with the idea of mixing Christianity and the military doesn't mean you're right. You know, it just means you're uncomfortable. And a lot of that is cultural. a lot of that is learned behavior. You know, people have been indoctrinated to be uncomfortable with these types of things. I think that there is a lot of grace that's involved when we observe people doing things that we're uncomfortable with. You know, Jesus said to his disciples when they'd ask, like, should we go tell these other people, you know, to get lost? They're not representing you. They're not a part of our clique. He said, no, those that are not against us are for us. And I think that we need to have a lot more grace because we don't know how God is or is not working through them and in them. Ephraim Matos, and I hope I'm saying his name right, he wrote City of Death. He was with David Eubanks in Mosul. And he grew up in a pretty conservative Christian environment. When you read his book, it sounds comparable to Seventh-day Adventism. You know, it sounded quite legalistic, letter of the law, not so much the spirit of the law kind of thing. And he ended up rebelling against that a bit, not losing his faith in God ever, but rejecting this idea of passivity. He couldn't reconcile with his own personal engineering. And he ended up joining Naval Special Warfare, becoming a Navy SEAL, then going on to do some amazing humanitarian stuff in Mosul, saving the lives of so many people. And who knows the ripple effects that that will have into eternity because he chose to do what he did, because he chose to stand up in the gap for someone else. You have someone, on the other hand, whose spiritual condition was vastly different than mine, who joined. And we ended up in similar positions in special operations. And it's more about the mindset than it is about the spiritual condition.
Talk more about that mindset. Like, what kind of mindset do you need going in?
I think Desmond Dawes is a great example of the mindset of service, of being of value to your brothers and sisters around you. He wanted to serve. He knew that people were in need, and he knew that he had an ability to do something about it. And I appreciate that very much. Today, we see a lot of people who see needs. They know they have ability to do something about it, and they refuse to. They sit on the sidelines and are spectators in life. That's not the mindset you want to have. But you also don't want to go into that situation with the mindset that this is an outlet for your anger and your aggression. But I think really the mindset that you want somebody to have is that I have something to give, and this is a way for me to give it.
Tell us about the Green Beret motto. What is that?
Deo Presser Liber. It's actually a quote from Jesus. He was the first Green Beret. He's quoted in Luke 4:19, right? He says, this is his mission, is to liberate the oppressed. And what does he do? He recruits a 12-man ODA, Operational Detachment Alpha. And he's got a special forces team that's going to wage unconventional warfare. Speed, surprise, and violence of action are three things that we kind of lived by. Really, you needed to be good at all three to be a good Green Beret. However, as a Green Beret, what you're doing is much more of a force multiplication role. You want to be training people to be able to fight the battles that they're in and not always coming to the rescue and trying to fight battles for them. And that is the whole premise of special forces, like the Green Berets, especially with our two core missions of unconventional warfare and foreign internal defense, where we wage counterinsurgency operations, which is exactly what we're engaged in on a spiritual level in this earth. C.S. Lewis put it perfectly. He says, enemy occupied territory, that is what this world is. And Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed, you might say in disguise, and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. And C.S. Lewis goes on to say that for Christianity is a fighting religion, that a great many things have gone wrong with the world that God made, and that God insists and insists very loudly on our putting them right again. I don't see that there's really anything wrong necessarily with having that mindset. It's about its application. I think that that mission of Special Forces, Deo Presser Liber, is absolutely consistent with God's mission for us on earth. It's how we execute it that gets kind of sticky.
We're talking about this issue. We're mentioning how it's really easy for people who aren't making the choice to turn it into something black and white. And you brought up the idea of, like, well, what's the person's desires? What's driving them to want to join? Would you talk about that?
I want to talk about the desire to join and start by sharing a little experience I had recently. Well, it wasn't that long ago, just the end of January, I was in Chattanooga visiting, preparing for the No Excuses Project, and I went to one of the local churches there. I was kind of surprised when I saw on the grounds a marked police officer's vehicle. And then I saw when I got up to the church that there was a uniformed police officer standing there in the front of the church. I thought, wow, this is really interesting. And I realized that these people here have a strong desire to be protected. They have a strong desire to be defended. And I wondered why they were asking a uniformed police officer who is on payroll, on the clock, getting paid, working, to be there to defend them when they could have defended themselves. And I think that that is one of the things that people join the military for, is they want to be able to defend themselves. They want to be able to stand in the gap and help defend other people. They don't want to have to be dependent, like you talked about one of your other podcasts, like giving up their authority and agency. They want to lead well in their own lives and do for themselves what God gave them the ability to do, and not always have to rely on other people. But there are a lot of other reasons that young people join the service, because not all services are the same. And I think Adventists really get wrapped around the axle on this, and they can't even see the forest for the trees, because the Coast Guard is a branch of service. You know, there are plenty of jobs in the Navy, the Air Force, even the Marines and the Army, where you don't have to take a combatant role. And so people will join just simply like I did, to escape a bad situation. Education benefits are amazing as well. You know, a couple of years of service for, you know, skills that you get in learning technical trades and other things like that, the paycheck that you earn while you're there. And on top of that, they're going to pay for your college degree. There are so many benefits to joining the military service, and so many reasons why people make a very calculated decision to join. Because for many of us, it just makes sense. And honestly, we don't see alternatives. We oftentimes look at Desmond Dawes as a champion for the conscientious objector model. We really strongly emphasize what he didn't do. You know, he did not work on the Sabbath. He did not carry a gun. But we completely miss the boat on what he did do. What he did do was he took a stand for good over evil. He had a sense of duty that God had put on his heart, and he didn't give up in the face of adversity. But if he had listened to that advice, like, no, you can't be here, shouldn't be here, you're doing the wrong thing, think about thousands of lives that would have been different today. I don't even know how many people wouldn't be here today if he had not done what he did. And so for me, his legacy is more about what he did than what he didn't do. It's less about the fact that he didn't work on Sabbath and he didn't carry a gun, and it's more about the fact that he put his life on the line for other people, because he knew Jesus and because Jesus was deeply embedded in his heart. He had the no excuses mindset. There was no excuse that was going to keep him from being there on that front line and serving his fellow man. It didn't matter that he didn't have a gun or anything else. He didn't make excuses. And Desmond Dawes had answered the ultimate question: is Jesus enough? And I think that question is important, because regardless of what the outcome of your decisions are, to join the service, to not join the service, to be something or nothing for God, at the end of the day, all you're left with is your relationship with God. And is Jesus enough? And Desmond Dawes answered that question. He said, yes, Jesus is enough. And because Jesus is enough, I can do these things. That's especially what we're trying to capture at No Excuses, is that it's not about what you don't do. You can refrain from all kinds of things, but what are you going to commit your life to?
Thanks, Joseph. What a great challenge. To reach any level of success, whether it's becoming a Green Beret or building a passionate marriage, a man must commit. In next week's show, we'll discover the top obstacles Christians face in the military today and explore how Joseph's strategy to overcome works in and out of the military. There's still time and a few spots if you would like to join Joseph and Chad at the No Excuse Project in Cleveland, Tennessee on May 13 to 15. Go to noexcuses3.com and sign up today. In the meantime, let's all commit to following Jesus, the blueprint for men.